This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Watch us. Love us. Just follow WEEI on Twitch. Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Tom Werner on the broadcast this weekend. Hey, you know, I don't want to put too much on any of these kids, but they can all be not just great players, all stars. That's what Alex Cora said. Don't shoot the messenger. So interesting stuff there from Tom Werner.
Let's go Red Sox.
Certainly pushing the Red Sox prospects there. I should know the full order today. All the kids are in the lineup today, right? They're about to
get going
against the Orioles.
Got scratched.
Oh, he did.
Sick.
Yep. Okay, but they were all supposed to be on the trip. Alex Bregman apparently lobbied Alex Cora into making the trip because he wanted to go on a bus trip with these kids, take them on the road, show them the ropes, pick their brains, that whole thing. So he talked his way into the lineup to DH today.
Yeah.
While two out of the three kids are playing in the game. That's about to get going in Fort Myers. Meanwhile, that's the backdrop, Keith, of what their ceiling is. Not only can they all be good players, they can all be all-stars, according to Alex Cora via Tom Werner.
Yeah, it's funny. The Bregman stuff, though, is amazing. It's, like, too good to be true. Right, like, everything, like when Cora even said, like, is he the perfect player? Yes.
Do you think it's like a little...
No, I don't. I buy it.
Like a little eyewash, like a little, like, laying it on too thick sort of thing?
To
no?
this point, I buy it. Like, I buy all of it, and it's just an amazing juxtaposition where you have Devers, who is kind of the opposite of a leader, and I'm not even saying that as, like, a huge insult. I don't think 25 guys have leadership abilities and that kind of thing, so Devers isn't that. And then... Tristan Casas, a week ago, we focused so much about his comments on who's playing third, who's playing second, but he was also asked about the young guys, and he's like, none of them should make the team. We have grown men here, blah, 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 blah. Alex Bregman's asked about the same three guys. He goes on and on and on. He barely knows them. And he's like, these guys are incredible.
They're going
like,
to be awesome. They're going to be great.
To the point now where he is like lobbying to make the trip. Around, like, most veteran guys probably don't want to leave the city that they're in. Like,
correct.
I got spring training. Let me take my at-bats here. I don't want to do any traveling. I certainly don't want to be in a lineup with just a bunch of young kids. That's not the game for me. But Bregman is trying to get into the game with those guys. So, I mean, I thought the Bregman signing was going to be great because he's a right-handed bat, because he's a good defensive third baseman, because he's a leader on the major league roster. He's a winner. Like, all that stuff is pretty obvious. But I didn't really consider the development of Meyer, Campbell, and Anthony as anything that Bregman would have a lot to do with.
Me
certainly
either.
At this stage, and apparently he does that as well.
Okay, so again, Anthony was scratched, I guess because he's sick, is what Nick was saying.
Yeah,
Bregman DHing today, Meyer at third.
Add another third baseman.
Campbell in left. And so this does go back to, where is Christian Campbell going to play? Is he a second baseman? Is he an outfielder? He's played at various spots in his minor league career. It's been a discussion in the last week or so where Anthony is going to fit defensively. And so maybe you have questions with all three of them. Is Meyer a shortstop? Is he second base flexibility? Campbell, is he going to have flexibility between second base and left field? Where exactly are you going to line up with Roman Anthony? Not that any of them are probably making the opening day roster. I would advocate for it, but I doubt the Red Sox will do it.
Yeah.
But it does go back into the whole discussion about Devers and Bregman and where does everybody fit and how does it all piece together. If Campbell's getting reps in left field, from a versatility standpoint, I guess that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also speaks to he's not going to be your opening day second baseman.
No, he's not. I'm kind of resigned to the fact that none of those guys will be on the opening day roster. In most years, I think I'd be really pissed about it. But this year, because you went and added a guy like Bregman and we're trying to figure out where he's going to play, I think it'll all work itself out. And I don't think it's the end of the world if you wait a little bit, because you don't want Campbell up not playing every day, or you wouldn't want Roman Anthony up playing like half the games. Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense.
No, you want them playing, right? Whether it's in Worcester or the majors, you want them playing.
So if they play a ton at Worcester and they're just ripping the cover off the ball, and then I think there'll be an opportunity that'll open up. And if you can play second base and left field, those seem like, to me, the two easiest ways to break into the lineup. I know Duran plays left, but he can also play center. So mm-hmm. Duran's playing center. He's really, to me, your only obvious everyday outfielder. I think Willie Abreu had a good year, and you can make a case, but he's out there.
But he doesn't need to be in the lineup every single day.
No.
Rafaela doesn't need to be in the lineup, probably, period, and definitely not in the outfield every day with his versatility. So
like, if my dream scenario would be 2 months into the year, Campbell becomes your everyday second baseman, Anthony becomes your everyday left fielder. Duran's playing center. You now have Willie Abreu, you have in right field, and then Rafaela is sort of your first guy off the bench at like every position, because he could play center and move Duran to left. He can play second. Like, he could play short, you know, when the inevitable Trevor Story injury happens. Yeah. He can play short.
We have the countdown clock to the combine. That also could double as the countdown to the first Story injury.
Yeah.
Not Bregman injury, Story injury.
No doubt.
So Bregman, there is an element of like, it seems a little too good to be true.
Yeah, I know.
And maybe it's eyewash. And is he a perfect player? He might be. And he's taking bus trips across the state of Florida to go DH with the kids today. You know, how much of that is genuine and how much of that is, as the text line says, 617-779-7937, the unselfishness is putting pressure on Devers to give up third base. And maybe that's not even calculated on Bregman's end.
Yeah.
But just the way he's coming across and carrying himself, and he'll do everything for the betterment of the team.
Polar opposite.
Versus Devers, who's like, I won't move. And Tristan Cassis, who's like, oh yeah, by the way, those kids should stay in the minors. And and Devers shouldn't move. That's certainly a juxtaposition, as you said. 617-779-7937. Then we got Garrett Crochet with Rob Bradford, who we'll talk to on Thursday.
Croquet.
Garrett Croquet.
Yeah.
On the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, setting the record straight about his extension request. For me, I'm not sure there's a satisfactory answer.
Okay, let's hear
it. But let's give it a listen. And I think in a lot of ways, he's even more important than Bregman. I love the Bregman signing, but I would say in a lot of ways, if he's going to be what you think he is at the front of your rotation, that's even more important than Bregman. He said, I'm actually glad you asked, Rob. He didn't say Rob. But
good question, Brad Foe.
Because I know when it came out last year, a lot of people were looking at it as I was greedy. And this is the stipulations about trading for Croquet,
mm-hmm.
at the deadline last year. He only wanted to start. He wanted an extension in place. He wouldn't pitch in the postseason without an extension in place, blah, blah, blah. He says, I didn't by any means feel like I was demanding it because I wanted money or security by itself. It was more so the fact that I was establishing myself as a starter and kind of getting away from the idea that teams viewed me as a potential high-end reliever. I was having a good year. I was staying healthy for the first time in my career. 2020, I was hurt. 21, blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm,
blah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He says, now I'm coming back from Tommy John. There were complications, and now I'm starting to set a routine, and I'm feeling good every fifth day, and I'm able to go out and perform. Why should I jeopardize that for a team I don't really owe anything to? That was the weird part. A lot of people were sending me hate stuff on Instagram, and I was like, I don't know what team I'm not on.
Hate stuff on Instagram?
For me, that was the way to protect myself. So I don't know. Like, you want to talk about Devers and give him criticism for putting himself before the team, Cassis? I mean, is there an element of that in some of those, that explanation from Garrett Crochet?
Well, it's different than some of those other guys, I think, just because Crochet was finally healthy for a season, and then now all of a sudden he might get thrown into like a playoff race, which you would think as like a competitor you'd want to be in said playoff race, but you also know what it's taken to get back to where he was, because he's really had like a bunch of lost seasons early on in his career. The one line that's strange to me, and I guess to him it makes sense, but he's like, you know, a team that I don't really owe anything to. Well, if they're trading a ton to get you, right, like they obviously want you, and then you therefore I don't know. That's how pro sports works, right? Like, they pay you a good hunk of money. You perform. That's the give and take on that. But I do feel a little bit better about Crochet overall now than I did last year. I think last year at the trade deadline, when all this stuff first came out, you're like, oh, my God. I didn't even think he would accept this trade without kicking and screaming. And he did. Right? I thought there was going to be like, well, I need a new contract. That was more to do with in-season usage than it was after the year.
No, that's fair. And I don't feel like they're anywhere near an extension for Crochet. No. But a lot of times these do get announced after opening day. So maybe they're working on it more behind the scenes than I give it credit for. He's two starts in, 3 1/3, 4 hits. He has struck out 7. He's also walked 4, so a lot of base runners. Mm-hmm. But the stuff has been filthy from Crochet. I'll tell you, it was a good debut yesterday, or the day prior. I'm trying to remember when it was, over the weekend for Walker Buehler as well, who looked good in his 2 innings. Those were relatively clean.
He's flying under the radar.
1 hit and 4 Ks. So look, I think he is too. You know, he's the pitching Alex Bregman. He's a guy who's come in.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a winner. He pitched well in the World Series and postseason a year ago. I can't remember if it was Cora or Breslow now. It might have been Breslow, I heard last week with Greg's show. But they said he's kind of got like an attitude about him, which I want to see that play out before I really get fully on board with it. But like, okay, he's got an attitude and an edge to him and like bulldog sort of attitude at the top of the rotation. Like that I could get on board with.
No, that's great.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think all those other guys in the rotation are going to benefit from that, because you're not relying on Hauk, Crawford, and Bayo to be like what they were last year. And right, Bayo more second half. But
pitch well and be a leader.
Yeah, right. And also, if Tanner Hauk and Cutter Crawford take a step back this year from where they were last year, I don't think it'd be the most shocking thing in the world. Nope. And if you were relying on those guys, then you're kind of in trouble. And I think Breslow, and maybe even Cora to an extent, kind of thought the same thing. Like, hey, that was good, like the seasons those guys had, but like we need more reliable guys.
Let's not rely on them repeating that.
No. And then this way there's just overall less pressure on those guys. You know, you throw in a guy like Giolito too, who we didn't see at all last year, and maybe he'll factor into it. And you know, those young guys really now kind of slot in as like your number 4 and 5 rather than like number 1 and 2 from a year ago. So that's a huge difference.
No, it is. I just think when it comes to the top of the rotation, I feel better about it. You know, you got to see if Crochet can do it day in and day out for a full year on a real team where people are paying attention, not one of the worst teams in the history of baseball where no one paid attention to them a year ago in Chicago. So there's pressure in the market. There's pressure on what should be a more competitive team. And I'm curious how he handles all of it. I do think that comment and his conversations and comments around the contract in general are worth watching. I don't think it rises to the level of Devers, no, I play third. I'm not going to move. I don't think these comments are those. But I also think they're in the same vein. It's putting yourself before the team. It's putting your own individual situation before the team. And you could say baseball is a business. Professional sports are a business. It's a smart business thing to do. You can say all that. But we've also done a lot of complimenting of Alex Bregman and all the other things he's doing. This is closer to Devers than that. Those comments from Crochet to Rob are closer to that.
Yeah, no, they are. I mean, he's got to kind of get that contract, obviously. You know, like with baseball players, it gets to that certain point and you need to be able to capitalize it. And so I would assume in the back of his mind, there's another injury around the corner, right? Like, how do you prepare yourself for that to actually have a full healthy season where there are no restrictions?
So you would think he'd want to get paid now. And so,
yeah, but like the guys that sign early, I always think have a, not, I mean like real early, not 1 year to go like Mookie Betts or Mike Trout, but like, the guys that sign real early.
Bayo, Rafaela, guys like that, you're saying?
Kind of maybe know that they're not that great. Honestly, I remember when the Houston Astros, you might remember this name just from like fantasy baseball, but the Houston Astros had all these guys coming up and it might have been like right around Bregman, Altuve, or even a little bit before that. And I think it was John Singleton.
Okay, yeah, the big hitter, the first baseman, yeah.
Like, they offered all these guys contracts. None of them signed him, and then this guy did, and then, like, sucked. And it was like, I don't know, like, I get wanting the money early on, but if you're patient and you really believe in your own abilities, you're going to get, like, twice the money if you wait.
Well, and now that you say that, as you're talking it out, I do remember Crochet saying a week or two ago, like, yeah, I don't want to rush into a deal. I want to prove what I am.
Like, Tristan Casas last year, it made no real sense for him to sign that deal. I think Bayo and Rafaela were like, all right, this is a lot of money. Like, let's do this, at least guarantee it. Everybody's a little bit different too, right? Like, some people fixate it all the time, and that's not going to help you play if all you're doing is worried about your contract. But a guy like Casas saying, I haven't even really had a full great year yet. If I do the 41-20 thing that Breslow's calling for, like, think about how much more money I could make.
So I maintain that's the kind of stuff that's going to get in the way of the Red Sox this year. It's not their talent. I think their talent's pretty good. Yankees took another hit over the weekend, you know, Giancarlo Stanton not going to start on time for the Yankees this year. He's going to start the year on IL. So I do think the division's wide open. I think the league is wide open. That doesn't mean the Red Sox will walk through the door, but talent-wise, I think they're in the mix with all those teams, maybe even a cut above some of those teams. In the division, it's them and the Yankees and everybody else, to me. I think they're above Baltimore and Toronto and Tampa. But the stuff like this is what's going to get in the way. Crochet's extension talks, so those get messy. Tristan Casas, just the whole Casas experience.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a disaster
well,
in any way, shape, or form?
Cora comes into play.
Devers, Bregman, who's at third? Who's at second? Who's lining up where? Is Campbell a second baseman or a left fielder? I put that lower on the list. But all that stuff, and you're right, Alex Cora in the middle of it. We talked about this last week, Keith, late in the week. The Red Sox have, for the first time in years, pressure on them to go actually get it done, make the playoffs, win 90 games or whatever, 95 games, make the postseason go on. There's actual pressure to do this for the first time in a while. And so there are players with pressure on them, but Alex Cora, I think, is above all of that. It's going to be on Cora, who just got paid himself last year. It's going to be on him to sort all this out, and we'll see if he can juggle all the various personalities and situations they're dealing with this year.
100%. And it started early. It started before they even took the field with all these guys. I was looking up Bet Online. They sent us some of their odds, like for pitcher odds for the season. I told you how Crochet, I think, was second in the AL Cy Young.
Yeah. It went Skubal and then him.
They have the MLB 2025 strikeout leader.
Okay.
So who will have the most strikeouts next season? Do you want to guess who's first, and you want to guess where Crochet ranks?
Crochet is first.
He is third.
Okay.
He's tied for third.
Oh.
Paul Skeens is one.
That makes sense. Then is Sale on the list?
No, yeah, he is.
Okay.
Tarek Skubal second, and then Garrett Crochet and Dylan Cease are tied for the third best odds to lead the majors in strikeouts.
Yeah, so people expect a big year out of him.
They a monster year.
And if he goes out and has a big year, you're going to have to pay him.
Do you think he hits 200 innings?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I mean, do you?
I think it's
dangerous. That's like a pitcher thing. That's dangerous to wager on any pitcher in today's league for 200 innings. He's never come close to doing it.
He did have 200 strikeouts last year, like 150 innings.
I was going to say, the strikeouts, he'll have 200 Ks.
He'll get the Ks. Yeah.
But will he throw 200 innings?
Do you think he will?
No. And I think it'll...
I think it's a bad bet to say he will. Like, maybe he will. I think it's a bad bet.
So if you throw 33 times and you throw six innings a start, that's 198. So you have to go deeper than six innings, or you certainly can't miss any starts. So do you think it'll be more like them managing him, like taking him out of the fifth inning, or do you think it's more likely that he's just like on the shelf for a couple weeks?
Given his track record, he's on the shelf for a couple of weeks. So you hate to say it, but I mean that's what it's been.
I know.
From the second the guy stepped into the bigs. 617-779-7937. More of your thoughts there. We touched on the Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins, and of course Patriots today on Jones and Keefe. We also gave you four different options to vote. At Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. I'm seeing the question right now on the text line. Where can I vote? How do I vote? You go to Jones and Keefe. You can vote on four topics for our Jones and Keefe bracket. We'll unveil the winner tomorrow. We'll get into the bracket beginning on Wednesday, so stay tuned for that. You can also stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. Hart and Fitzy today. We'll get you the clip du jour. And right after Trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
The hues fill my heart with the sound.
Grab bag.